Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Y'all did a great job today. It is hot up here. It must be the presence of God or these hot lights. Oh, man, it's great to be here. It really is. It seems to be brighter than it used to be. I think these two are on when they're not normally on, but it's fine. I can adapt. How many of you know that that's the Christian life, adapting? You're thinking about you're going this way, and God changes your mind or changes the path and changes the route, and then all of a sudden you have to adapt, right? And that's just following Him, following the Lord. And we sang some older songs today, and I like that. That was good. That was very good. I could sing some of those. You can tell I'm a little bit, somebody said, I think it was Gina told me one time, I said, well, I know I'm old. She said, yeah, but I'm going to say you're generational. So if she calls you generational, she's saying you're old or older. I'm not old. I'm getting older, which is fine. I like that choice to get older, don't you? You know, but if it's time to go home, I'm ready to go home. Either way, right? Let's see. Brenda said that we had William. See, these lights are so bright. I can't tell. William and Charlotte. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Y'all are my heroes. William and Charlotte are here. William, are you doing better? A lot. He had a bike accident, and riding bicycles, not motorcycle. When I said bike, did y'all think I meant motorcycles? No, three-wheeler. Not a three-wheeler, but an electric bike, right? Yeah, but anyway, he had an accident, and it was good, but he did some damage to his nose and face, and hand is broken, you know, but, and what?
Two operations.
Yeah, well, we've been praying for y'all. We'll pray for you right now. Father, I just pray that you'd continue to heal him in Jesus' name. Lord, may he be a walking miracle to testify that you are still the healer in our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 It's good to have y'all back. It really is. Well, we have some people from California and a pastor. I found out that he's a pastor. And so we're so glad that you're here with us. And how's California doing? That's the reason.
It's about to sail out into the Pacific Ocean.
So that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every time you go to the grocery store, you come back with at least two nuts in a bag, right? So, we got to fear North Carolina as well. something maybe a lot of people don't know. When I first came to Christ, there were two young gentlemen in your church that were instrumental in ministering to me and loving on me when I was way far from the Lord. And when I came to faith in Christ in 1985, this was the first church I visited. And I came here with those young men, and I thank God for them. I think about them a lot. Gary Sadler, now some of you may remember Gary.
Absolutely.
And David Milo.
Absolutely. We're glad you're here, and we're glad to be here too. We're glad you're here. In other words, the answer to the question that I asked him, I said, "How's California doing?" That's the reason I'm here. Being interpreted, meaning, you know, no. But it's so good to have you guys. It really is. If you'll open your Bibles to it's Colossians. It's not a second or a first. Colossians 2. And I want to talk a little bit briefly about some things that the Lord has been laying on my heart concerning the root of the matter. We started a series a few weeks back about the roots and used the passage of John 15. About he is the vine and we're the branches, and we're to bear fruit. And as long as we abide, and that's what he says in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So this self-effort of bearing fruit is not fruitful. Because the Bible says you can't do it out of your own effort. He said, unless it abides in the vine, and then it can, so neither can you. You cannot bear spiritual fruit of your own effort. It has to be our surrender, our abiding in him, and let him do the work. See, we're not the producers. He is the producer. We are just there surrendering to him. Everybody remember the word surrender. Tell your neighbor, surrender. So this thing about surrender, we can get so involved in all the everyday things and everything about ministry and church, and all of a sudden forget to surrender. Because, you know, if we do not ask him about things that we're about to do, we may be going the wrong way. Even though it could be good. Because he said, you can eat of any tree, you know, here, but you cannot eat of what? The tree of evil? Tree of good and evil. So there's some good things that he does not want us to do. You have to hear that. Unless he's saying, do it. Then we can do it. But anyway, We need to make sure that as we learn how this abiding works in our life, not something that we know, but something that we can practice. As we learn how to abide, we need to learn that we're learning how to do that in a grace culture. A grace culture, not a law culture, not legalism, but a grace culture. But sometimes in a grace culture, we leave out something that is connected to the grace. It is by grace you're saved through faith. See, grace is the favor of God that you don't deserve. And it's also a divine influence upon your heart. Grace is a divine influence upon your heart. Grace is also a divine empowerment for you to be able to do what God is asking you to do. Everything he's asked you and I to do, he has given us grace to be able to do it. We don't have to come up with our own effort. We just do it by his power, by his grace. But along with grace comes a lot of times that you don't hear about, responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. See, we have a divine influence, but we also have a respondability. We have a responsibility that goes with grace. And it's like this. We can say, can I do this? and you fill in the blank. Can I do this and still be a Christian? See, it's the wrong focus and it's the wrong question. Can I do this and still be a Christian? And the answer to that may be yes. But that's not the right question to ask. We need to learn to ask it another way. See, it's rights focused. Can I do this? Do I have a right to do this and still be a Christian? But our question should be, instead of that, it should be, what do I have the responsibility to do? Not can I do that, but what do I have a responsibility in this to do? We need to focus on the responsibility that we have in our walk with God, and not just on, well, I've got a right to do this. Well, you may have. But does it go along with the responsibility that God has given you to do? Is that clear? We do have a responsibility. We do have an obligation. We'll get to that verse in just a minute. But God is wanting us to understand that as we abide, we just don't follow our will. We have a responsibility to follow His will. And that's what He wants us to do, even though we're just loaded down with the grace of God, filled with the grace of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. We have all that. But see, this grace culture does, you see, the grace culture does not, that we're in, does not say, come just as you are, period. I know y'all are waiting. Okay, Pastor, tell us the rest of it. No, so you have this. How many of you ever heard "just as I am"? There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all we do, there's something wrong with that. Because in my life, I came just like I was, and He accepted me just like I was, and He saved me just like I was. He exchanged all my sin, took all my sin and gave me His righteousness and His holiness. But there's another part to "just as I am." And it's "just as He is." I came just like I am. But He's going to change me just like He is. So it's not, come, get born again, and have a seat. It's come, be born again, and go to work. As He works on you and I, we work through that very work that He's working in us. So everything that He's given us the free will to choose whether we're going to follow Him or not. See, because His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that He's my Savior. Is He yours? Yes. Give Him praise for He saved you. Give Him praise. He saved you. But here's the harder question. He's the harder question. Is He your Lord? Which means you do what He says. Which means He is the master of your living. He is the master of your life. You begin to know His will. You begin to know His word. You begin to know His spirit. To follow the spirit, follow the word, and begin to become as He is. Just as I am, to become just as He is. So we can't just come and say, well, I'm a Christian. And you became a Christian, how many years ago? But are you walking with the Lord? See, one is a relationship, the other is fellowship. Is there a fellowship in your relationship? See, the prodigal son's father had a son. And he had a relationship with that son. He was his son. And he was the father of the son. But he drifted, went to a foreign land. Before he went, he demanded his inheritance, which was out of line to do. It wasn't the proper order because he was not the oldest. But he wanted his way, and he wanted his money. He wanted his way right now, even though he was a son. The son, he wasn't the oldest. So the father gave it to him, and he left. But he remained a son. His father was waiting on him to return. He remained a son. You can become born again and drift in fellowship from the Lord. Doesn't mean we're lost. But it means the fellowship is broken. The nearness. There's a reason, you know, Jesus said, hey, you worship with your lips. You got all that thing going on. You got all this outward stuff going on. But your heart is far from me. See, the heart has to remain connected not just to the relationship, but to the fellowship of God. Fellowship with the Lord. So we have to make sure that we're walking with Jesus. Not just say I have him in my heart, but I'm walking with him. He's walking with me. Now let's look at this, see if we can get a little bit more clarity with it. He says, the true knowledge, this is at Colossians 2, verse 2. The true knowledge of God's mystery is Christ himself. The true knowledge of the mystery of God is Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want all the treasures of wisdom and all the treasures of knowledge, you have to be in Christ to see it because they're hidden. But they're hidden in him. And he goes on and says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments. What does that mean? There's going to be an opportunity for you to hear persuasive arguments, to persuade you of another way, another Jesus, another system that you have not been birthed in. He said, but I'm telling you this so that you're not deluded. He said, even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline. That's a word we don't use a lot. But he said, I'm rejoicing because I'm able to see your good discipline. You are a disciple. You are a follower. You are a disciple. You have discipline in your life from the Lord. And he says, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. So what is he saying? He said, I'm seeing that you have a discipline that is a working discipline, a working disciple, an actual walking out disciple, following the Lord, following Jesus, and not just talk about him. And we need to talk about him, but if we can talk about him without living the thing, whoever we're talking to sees it as a religion and not a relationship. And I'm telling you, the world is full of religion. They don't even want religion. They're looking for the reality of somebody saying, I'm a Christian, and they live it. I'm a lover of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus, and it's perfectly okay. And I'm fine with it. There's things I won't do, there's things I will do. I'm walking with the Lord. You'll hear me. See, you know, have you ever followed your flesh? Has anybody in here, after being born again, you followed flesh a time or two? Okay. How did that work out? See, here's the way the Lord, I love the way the Lord does. I mean, really, he surprises me sometimes. He surprises me a lot. All of a sudden, I'll be in the flesh about something and not being in the spirit and being flesh about something. And all of a sudden, the very person I was in the flesh with, it'll be the next week that they want to talk to me about Jesus. And I'm like, man. Yeah, well, I got to make it right. See, the mark of Christianity is not that we walk perfect. Is anybody walk perfect in here? I'll give you the pulpit. It's fine with me. I need to hear from you. I really do. But see, that's not the mark of Christianity, is being perfect, doing everything exactly right the way you're supposed to do it. Is there anybody here in this room that's done that? I thought she was going to raise your hand. She faked me out. She went. I thought I had somebody. Not today. No, but see here. But here's the thing about it. But he looks at this and he said, in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Christ?
Through faith.
By grace, through faith. So if you received him through faith, how are you supposed to walk in him?
Through faith.
That's a good time to say amen. All right, that's good. Then I'm going to do a prompt. I'm going to do a prompter up here every now and then. Say amen. Oh. No, I'm not messing with you. I really am. I'm not pulling for that. I really not. So he says, through faith, so walk in him. That word walk means to walk about. That sort of sounds like Australia, walk about. You know, we'll just walk about. So the walk about says, so where are you headed? I'm just going to walk about. Well, where are you going? I'm just walking around. You know, he said, even in that situation, you walk in him. Y'all hear me? It doesn't only mean that. It also means to walk in him is to be occupied with him as you walk. To be occupied with him as you walk. It also means to have a life, to have a walk that is conforming to the image of Jesus. Conforming to the image of Jesus. Our spirit is already complete in him. That's what the Bible says. You're in your spirit, you're already complete. Your soul is not. Your mind, will, and emotions, and neither is your body. But your spirit's already born again of the spirit with an incorruptible seed that your spirit cannot be corrupted. If it's born of an incorruptible seed, your spirit cannot be corrupted. But your soul certainly can. But he said, with this walk, he said, we need to understand that we walk in him and we should constantly walk in the process of becoming more like Jesus, but it doesn't come from mine and your effort. It's not your own ability. It's not my own ability. We just said you can't produce fruit on your own. That's what he said, neither can you. The branch can't do it, and neither can you. Neither can we produce the fruit that God wants us to produce that we can't produce. We just live in him, and he produces the fruit. But see, here's the thing about it. Once we produce all that fruit, and you're a branch, and I tell you what, see how bean it's just without hitting somebody in the head, just stretch your arms out just like that. You're a branchy. Look at all the branches we got. See, we're good. Now here's the thing. They're not, your branch is not hers or his or what. Your branch is yours. But every time when you begin to produce fruit that God is doing in you and you're surrendering and he produces a fruit that people can taste to see that he is good, not you. He's good. And in the process of that, once that fruit is produced and gathered in, guess what's coming? More fruit? Not yet. Much more fruit? Not yet. What's coming? Pruning. And we learned the other week that pruning is what? The other group that was here the other week, they'll be here next week. I'm telling you, none of you were here. Matter of fact, I don't even know what I said last week. I mean, I didn't know. No, he said, Jesus said, you are already clean by the word that I have given you. And that word clean is pruned. You're already pruned by the word that I've given you. So what is he doing today? Pruning. He's pruning some of us. Some of us were just surrendered and just saying, hey, that fruit's going on. Fruit, I mean, God is blessing my socks off. You know something? I said, God still got socks on though. But God is just blessing me. He's just blessing me. And all of a sudden, they go through a season of dryness or something. And then you say, well, why isn't the same? Why isn't it working like it used to? Because the pruning that he gives you today is preparing you for the fruitfulness in next season. Without the pruning, you won't have fruit next season. You'll be leafy and viney, have leaves all over the place. And that's what happened to the fig tree, y'all remember? Walked by the fig tree and all the leaves were on it, saying, I've got some fruit. I've got figs ready. That's what it's just got the leaves all over it. And Jesus goes to it to get figs, and there's none. Remember, Pastor? There's none. And he cursed the root of it. Why? Listen to this. You have to listen to this. We're all this. We're all this. So now we're all this. Look at our boy. We're leafy. So you can have all this and not bear fruit. Are you hearing me? Don't focus on success. Focus on abiding. Because your success that you have today may dwindle away in the next pruning season. And if you start getting upset and start saying, well, we've got to have more leaves. No, don't prune us. No, we don't need any more words. He said, it's by my word that I have pruned you. I have cleaned you. You're already clean. You're already pruned by the word that I've given you. Every time you hear a word, God is in the process of strengthening you or pruning you. Have you ever seen a pruned, not prunes, I remember in a message one time, I don't need to do that. I said, prunes are on aisle 7. And somebody said, well, how do you know? God does the pruning, and all of a sudden, we see all this leafy stuff, but we don't want the word. We don't want the word that's going to challenge us. But every time God has a word for you, he's going to challenge you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to teach us. How many of you still need to be taught of the Lord? I got born again when I was 8, and I still need the word of the Lord coming to me from him and from you guys, from some of you. Matter of fact, I heard one this morning. came from you. I got it third hand, but I grabbed hold of it. You told somebody this morning. What'd you tell somebody this morning? It's about to happen. Somebody told me, said, Pastor, do you know what Pastor John, I think it was Stephen, Pastor John told me this morning? I said, no, what did he tell you? He said, he looked at me and he said, it's about to happen. And I grabbed hold of that. I did. I grabbed hold of it and I said, it's about to happen. How many of you want that? It's about to happen. It's about to happen. So we got to hear those words that you know that comes from the Lord. He was talking to Stephen, but I don't know what you meant by it, but I know what I heard from it. It's about to happen. Well, what is it, Pastor? Whatever he wants to do. It's about to happen. Are you ready? I am. Are you ready for what he wants to do? But see, here's the thing about it. He's going to use you and I in the middle of it. He's going to lead us in our walk that is in a direction where he's taken us that we may not have been before. Or do you think we've experienced everything from God that we can ever... Or have we experienced the fullness of God's Spirit? No, there's still more. That's what they said on a movie one time. The enemy was killing us, taking them out, and this guy was new to this warfare, and he took two of them out, and one of his buddies over there, he said, don't worry, little brother. There's more. See, it's not that we don't have the fullness of God. We do have. We have the fullness of God's Spirit. He has not left anything out in giving you his Spirit. Eric, how did he give us the Spirit? By faith and? Yeah, and? Without measure. I knew he'd come through with it. He gave you the fruit of the Spirit without measure. In other words, you cannot measure it. We just got to be able to walk it out, not create it. Not try to work to get it. Did anybody try to be good without being born again? Did you ever experience that in your life? You tried to do good and without being born again. Now I can be good. I can be good. I can do good works. I can be good. I can do this good. I can do that good. Did anybody ever try that? Me and two more. But but see, you cannot do it without him. You can't produce his likeness without him. He's the producer. We're the ones that surrender. Surrender. Abide. Surrender. But I really want surrender. But that don't feel surrender. Well, I don't like surrender. Have y'all ever experienced these others? I don't really like that. I was counseling a couple. It's been years and years ago, and they had the problem, and I was telling them. I said, okay, I listened to the problem and everything, and then I said, wait, here's what I have for you, and I gave them what it was, and it was straight out of the Bible. And he looked at me. And said, do you have a plan B? Really? He said, do you have a plan B? And I said, yeah, there's another plan out there, but you already own it. You already own that plan. That's the reason you're in here. You already own plan B. Plan A is this right here. And what was that plan? If you desire to be my disciple, you must let him deny. Pick up his cross, your own cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. If any man has a desire to be a disciple, let him deny himself. Whew. How big is yourself? How big is yourself? You know, there's a song that I think a lot of the world is listening to, and that's perfectly okay, but express yourself. No, that can't, I don't know where that came from. That came from what group does that song? I don't know who it was. Express yourself. No, see, we need to express, but we need to express him. They need to express him. Most of the world has tasted what we got to offer. That's not what I'm looking for, you know. But when they taste him, they'll see that he is good. So we have this thing about the fruitfulness, and I've got to close. He says the walk. But see, this is in perfect tense. Imperfect tense, which indicates an action that happened a long time ago, but it's still happening. How many of you remember when you got born again? See, that walk was an action that started a long time ago, but it's still happening. We still need to walk this thing out. Then he goes on and he says, having been firmly rooted and being built up in him and established in your faith as you were instructed with overflowing gratitude. Let me share this about rooted. It means to be stable. Rooted. That's surrender. To be stable, that is surrender. Yeah, we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I appreciate all the help. But see, we'll do that here, and the next thing you know, we'll be saying, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, 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 no. And all of a sudden, our walk begins to have a more no's in it than yes's. See, that's leafy. Planted, firmly established. This is perfect passive. You know why that's important? It means that it's done one time in the past, and it was done by him. It was done one time in the past, and it was done by him. You were rooted by whom? That's right side over here. I got to work on. I'm messing with you, really. You were rooted by whom? Jesus. Him. He's the only one that can root you. He's the only one that can plant you. He's the only one. I tell you what, just go buy you a plant at Lowe's today. Take it home. Dig you a hole. Put some water in it. Put a little dirt in it. And cover it back up. Water it again. And see how much, without God's help, see how much you can have. See how much you can do with that growth. Without his help. See what you can do with it. You can't do anything with it. Not without him. Not without him. See, the Bible says that when you were born again, he saved you. We didn't save ourselves. When he rooted us, he rooted us. An outside force impacting the subject. That's the same thing as when he said, be holy, for I am holy. How many of you have ever tried, in your own effort, I'm going to go on ahead and go over here, on your own effort, to be holy? What, did it work out?
No.
How many of you guys ever tried to be holy? Just I'm going to be holy today. A few more honest people over here. You know, see, the thing is, we can't. That's like that trying to be good over here. You can't be holy. Well, why did he say be holy if you can't be holy? If you don't understand the Greek. The Greek says this. Be is an outside force acting upon the subject. Who's the outside force? He is. Acting upon the subject. Who's the subject? We are. So he said, be holy. In that verse, it means, I am giving you my holiness. Now just walk. Just walk. Walk in what I've given you. You don't have to earn it. We can't earn it. We can't do it other than the fact of surrender to what he's already made us. He's already made us holy, so surrender to that and walk it out. He's already made us righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's already made us righteous. So walk in the righteousness that he's already given. He made it easy. Man makes it complicated. Okay. Let's see. One other thing before I close, and I got 1 minute. Let me go here. He says, Romans 8:11 says, it is by the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you. The very Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and you, if we're born again. Then he goes on and he says this, he is the source of all of our life. And then he says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but we are under obligation because of what he's given us. We're a debtor to God for what he's done. That's what this thing about obligation is. You're not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but your obligation is to live by the Spirit of God who lives in us. And to live out what he's put in us. If he feeds our carnality, our flesh, if he rewards our flesh, we'll be bloated with flesh, carnality. That's the reason he don't reward our flesh. But he certainly rewards your surrender. Your willingness to say, I'll do what you want me to do. You know, I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I got a few ideas about it was a certain thing. I said, I went to him. I said, Lord, I got a few ideas about some things. And he said, I do too. Which meant to me, I needed to hear his and not worry about my own. But if you push forward with your own ideas without having him breathe on that, then we're spinning our wheels. Our lives are to be lived in honor of what he's done in our life, what he's done to our lives, and what he's going to do through our lives. And that only comes by us having a surrendered heart. And a surrendered heart is obedient. Living in an obedient life to the Lord. Saying, yes, Lord, I'll do that. But it might be hard, but it might be difficult. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Because I know it's all going to work out. Because you've equipped me to go do that. You've empowered me to go do that. And you're influencing my heart to go do that. So I'm going to go do that. There's some of you that the Lord has spoken to you about going and making it right with another person that you're in the wrong with. It's hard to do in our own being. But when you know you've done somebody wrong and somebody's got aught against you, I mean, he's so clear about it. He said, when you start bringing your offering and you remember that somebody's out there got aught against you, he said, you lay this down over here. Don't worry about giving it. You go to that person and you make it right with that person. That's Christianity. Religion don't want to do that, but Christianity has a hunger to do that. Clear the slate. Make it right with those that and for those that has, how many people have done you wrong? Somebody in your lifetime has done you wrong. Raise your hand. All right. How many of you have totally released that person and forgiven them? Those of you that haven't, that's your next step. Amen. Forgive them. Release them from any consequences that you have that you may think they need to pay for because they did this to you. Clears the slate. Otherwise, enemy's got a foothold. So, some of us are one step or one cross away from your breakthrough. What do you mean by that? Pick up your cross and follow him. Some of you are one cross away from having your breakthrough. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Surrender to him. And then your breakthrough is coming. Your fruitfulness is coming. Okay. Everybody stand to your feet. It's either, oh yeah, or oh my. But even if it's oh my, you can do something about that. We need to make a difference wherever we go. Wherever we are, wherever we go, we need to make a difference. But our motto here is love God, love people, and make a difference. We can't make the difference without loving God, surrendering to him, loving people, even the unlovable. How many of you want more love? How many of you want to be able to love better? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. I want to learn to love better. All right. Put your hands down. You know who God's going to send you? He's going to send you some of the most unlovable people. Are you hearing me? Why would he send you easy people to love? You already love them. So if you want more love, get ready. He's going to send some unlovable people to us so we can learn, so we can surrender and say, yeah, I love them. Miss B said something the other night. She said, Wednesday. Can I share that, Miss B? I don't know what it is. I know what you're saying. It's about you. Go ahead on. She came to me after the service on Wednesday. And she had her cane. She said, there was this man making all this racket, doing all this stuff right above me. He just, all this stuff, and irritating her peace and just making all this noise and all that kind of stuff. And finally he came out. And she said, and I had my cane, and I was about to work on him. And then out of her mouth comes, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you, but he don't like what you're doing. So I said, you didn't hit him? No, I didn't hit him. I told him the Lord loves him, and I love him too. So see, that's learning how to love. It really is. Anybody in here need Jesus? I'm talking about if you're not born again and you want to accept Jesus in your life, and it might be your first time ever, you know, you say, I really want to accept Christ in my life. Anybody? Don't be doing that. Don't be doing this kind of stuff when I'm looking for a hand. I'm getting faked out. All right, so we're all home folk. We're all family. All right, well, we sure do love you, and thank you so much for your time and your patience and listening. So let's pray. Father, thank you again that you are our life. Thank you again that you changed ours. You took us out of that darkness and put us into this marvelous light. And we ask you, Father, to use us as we sing. Isaiah said, send me. Who shall you send? Send me, Lord. Send all of us out into the mission field outside these doors to people that you've given us to witness to love on, and to share Christ with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to help in VBS, go right over there at that table and sign up. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.